So I made you self-conscious. So awesome. Here we go. All right. Welcome to It's All. Nope. Let's try that one again. I almost said All Elite. That wasn't fine. It shows us that we're easily sponsored. All right. Try it again. All right. Welcome to It's All Pro Wrestling Podcast. My name is Bill.
And my name is Doug.
And we are two adult men in their 30s talking wrestling. A little bit of a special episode, though. This isn't your typical Friday, Thursday, whatever. This is a little bit sooner than that, if you might realize it. Why is that, Doug?
Well, Bill, last night was AEW's Full Gear pay-per-view. So, and we actually got together in person to watch a little wrestling.
Yeah, we actually saw each other. This would be the second time in at least 20 months or so since we've seen each other in real life. Doug just came, ate my food, didn't offer anything. And just left, and that was it. But I got to see his daughter, and that was
That's
nice.
Me,
yeah. So
that was cool.
So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
So we're just putting a little extra Full Gear episode on today, so we don't end up doing a 3-hour podcast on Thursday.
We just kind of thought it was fitting, considering we're so excited after All Out that we actually recorded and sent something out, that it would only be fitting, to kind of follow up on Full Gear and kind of do the same thing. I think maybe in the future, we might be doing that for the AEW pay-per-views and maybe even some of the larger pay-per-views in general for, WWE or New Japan or anything that we can kind of catches our interest. Obviously, AEW is kind of the only thing that's really near and dear to our hearts completely, but down the road we might be doing this a little bit more and more. So Doug, you came over, you ate my food, you drank one beer, and you managed to leave my house without leaving anything behind, which is always a plus.
Always a good thing.
Anything, what was your overall impression of the night as a whole?
Comcast internet sucks.
No. Well, it wasn't Comcast. It was CenturyLink. We love
CenturyLink.
Comcast. We hate
I CenturyLink. Love you, Comcast.
Yeah.
No, all jokes aside, no, it was good. I think after we just discussed this a few minutes ago, after it's a lot different feeling after it was for All Out, where it was just pure excitement and pure, joy. Just like all the matches were excellent. And all the, debuts were just crazy and meaningful. And then last night kind of brought you back down to earth a little. Not saying it was bad, but it was just probably more what a typical pay-per-view has been and is going to be going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Was that kind of fair to...
I mean, that's your opinion. I thought it was the greatest thing ever, and everyone should be like, "Wow, that was a 7-star pay-per-view." And I'm really glad they showed all those women's matches because that's what Doug really hated. But no, it was something similar to that. We were watching it together, and I did have. Internet problems, which is like the first time I've ever had internet problems streaming in years, so I don't know what the heck was going on there, but and that definitely affected some of the matches I think we watched. But yeah, my general opinion is this wasn't the greatest pay-per-view ever. It's tough to follow All Out, and the way the card was shaping up, I thought it could, honestly. And I'm not going to be a huge downer on it because I reviewed, it was a good pay-per-view, but as a whole, a little bit, it was just, you can't follow up All Out. I do want to say, kind of before we get into, our overall, you know, more in-depth feelings about things. The Full Gear ballot that we mentioned on last episode, and we kind of threw it out on Twitter. The winner of that, because I did say that we would give a virtual hug and a little bit of a shout out, was a person by the name of Shy Mothboy. They perfectly predicted everything across the board and got a perfect score. So congratulations to them. They beat Doug's wife and they beat my daughter and they beat Doug and they beat myself quite handedly. Just want to thank everyone who participated. We're going to try doing this. I don't know for every pay-per-view out there, but definitely a good majority of them. We might even do it for Survivor Series. Maybe.
So, maybe we'll see.
But keep an eye out on the Twitter account for that, and then we'll obviously bring it up if I'm doing it or not in future episodes. So first of all, let's make this easy. What was your overall favorite match, event, spot? You know, and what was the best thing that you enjoyed about it?
Mm-hmm. I'd probably say the finally getting that payoff with Hangman at the end was probably the ultimate highlight for me. It was, you know, good. I mean, it was expected, but at the same time, there's moments within the match you're like, oh shit, like maybe they're not going to do it. Maybe they are. So it kind of kept you on your heels a little, but it was nice ultimately in the end seeing Hangman get the win, finally finishing up that, you know, long storyline. I like the little the nod with Matt at the end, right before he, you know, went over for the buckshot lariat.
Yeah. And that was set up on the Rampage beforehand. When I was talking to you about it, I was confused last night because literally Rampage and the buy-in kind of just threw itself in together in my mind. But yeah, that was all set up by that. There was a promo or a vignette between, not a vignette, an angle, whatever. I don't fucking know. There was something between the Bucks and Hangman where they kind of came to terms, kind of, sort of there. And what I liked about that was the nod to a New Japan match that, and I don't know if you remember it or not, but there's a match where it's Kota Ibushi versus AJ Styles, New Japan. And this kind of put forward or helped move along the Golden Lovers storyline between Kota and Kenny.
Okay.
Where Kenny's seconding, or he's along ringside with AJ, and Kota goes up to go do his Phoenix Splash.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenny, being a bad guy heel, jumps up onto the apron and starts and was going to shake Kota off because that's what he's supposed to do. He looks at Kota and stops. Because he can't do it, because this is his friend, his lover, his, you know, his second. You know, this is the person who completes him, essentially, in whatever form or fashion you want to take that in. And so he doesn't. And Kota ends up hitting it but missing it, or I don't remember how it transpires in the end. But it was very similar that, to me, it was very similar how Hangman looked at, specifically Matt Jackson. And Matt Jackson specifically looked back at Hangman on that. It was just kind of reminiscent to a point. So a little bit of a weird call, not a weird callback, but a possible callback. And all of our little smart boys and girls will really appreciate it.
Yes, they will.
Yes, they will.
I personally haven't seen it. I would like to now. I never thought of Kota going against AJ. I'm sure it makes perfect sense, but that is definitely a match I want to see.
Yeah, like I'll see what I can find on it, because I know I've seen clips on it on YouTube forever.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I'll look for it for you. The MJF Darby match, I think, was still the hidden gem.
I think so as well. I mean, just from, that's kind of at the beginning of the night when I just got there and, you know, me and you were starting to talk and eat, but like, I watched most of it and it was, yeah, it was a fantastic match and one I definitely want to go rewatch. And they both definitely stood out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they took everything that was given to them. They put together a great match. There was that one power bomb that Darby almost died on. Remember that? It was he's trying to do his flip kind of summer, like sunset flip bomb that he does.
Oh yeah.
And then, but he got caught and then it looks like, MJF's going to go for that Alabama slam. And instead, like, he turns it into, and I looked it up, they called it, it was like a minister driver or something like that, or minister bomb. But it's a power bomb variation that's out there, but it's just nasty looking power bomb. MJF Darby was absolutely fantastic. Those guys took what they had and ran with it. And MJF won with a side headlock. You know,
right.
he told us, and we didn't want to believe him, but yeah, he did it. So,
yeah, I asked you before the match, I'm like, all right, how's he going to win with a side headlock? Like, what is he going to do to fulfill what he says? Because usually when MJF says something, he typically follows through.
He follows through. And MJF, he's so good in the ring. Like you were surprised last night about how good he was. And I'm just like, no, yeah, he's amazing.
It definitely was. Cause you don't, like you were saying last night, you know, he's been a good heel and you don't see him wrestle very often. And it's been a lot of quicker matches.
And then, you know, we're just going to go straight down the card there. I mean, since we started out with MJF Darby, I do want to do a shout out real quick though, to the Sheeta Rosa Hater and Nyla match. You guys were still en route when you got there. I thought it was really good. I really, really liked that match because it was Sheeta and Rosa working really well with Hater. Nyla was used appropriately. She wasn't used too much. And she actually, the biggest thing that I figured out with Nyla is she actually has a great personality and not she just has a great personality that you can really work with and let her work with it. And she showed it during the match and it worked really well. I thought it was a nice buy-in. And Serena Deeb wasn't added to the Sheeta angle that they're doing. So that's awesome. But going back into the pay-per-view itself, you had FTR and the Lucha Brothers. What do you remember from that little match there, Doug?
Pretty much the end kind of just is the only thing that's sticking with me. Like, I remember, you know, watching the match and it was good. And there was some great moves that got us both like, oh shit, like, what is this? And how are you kicking out of that? But when all is said and done with that match, all that is sticking with me is how they ended it and why they ended that and what the something was off. Something happened.
It felt like a Dusty Rhodes 1991 finish, a WCW 1991 finish somewhere. Like both teams are amazing. I've been talking up FTR for the last handful of weeks. Lucha Brothers, Rey Fénix is amazing. Penta is very capable of being amazing. I just remember, like, that's all I can take away from it is just the clusterfuck finish. And it was one of those where they hit that, they do their finisher, which is that stomp with the package pile driver. And Fénix jumps and then hits another move. I will just say it's on Wheeler. I don't remember who was in the package pile driver, who was not. And that should have ended it. Instead, they take 2 minutes for FTR to come out, go underneath the ring, put on a frog mask, and then the announcers are trying to explain what's happening. And the crowd has no idea what the hell is happening. And they just pin the wrong guy. I mean, it's nice that they can continue the feud, FTR and Lucha Brothers, but why not have like Lucha Brothers or have FTR put on the mask? They hit that incredible finish. And Knox says that one of them is the one that gets pinned. He counts the pin as is the wrong one. And then you just kind of move it forward. I don't understand why they had to do that weird shit. And it killed that crowd.
Definitely. I think everyone was in shock, like we were watching it. And I think so the reason I'm saying I think something went wrong is like, okay, you see whoever came out with the mask on, but you
Wheeler
see
came
the
out
other one,
first.
Wheeler came out, and you see the other one under with the mask on too, but then you never fully see him come out or get involved. It's like
Yeah, like
something happened under there, and he just like something went. I don't know if he like couldn't get his mask on or like
I don't know.
got stuck up under there, and they just like kind of scrapped whatever they were going for. It just for how good the tag team division has been, it just felt wrong. It just
I think but going from the MJF Darby match where you had the crowd really into it, going into that and then killing the crowd with that FTR match, and where the crowd literally, I told you during it, I'm like, this feels like any WWE show where the crowd like just was dead. Like they were polite, they clapped, they cheered when they needed to. But they were just, it was literally just looking at a typical Raw crowd from,
right.
in Garland, Texas, or some shit like that. Like, just, and we love our people from Garland. Don't cancel
Don't
me,
cancel
Garland,
me, Garland,
Texas.
Texas. But yeah, the crowd just looked on pause. Like it was just a still crowd. Yeah, there's moments, but for the most part, that match definitely killed it.
That killed it and that ended. And then, but then you had Miro and Danielson come out. And you have Miro and Danielson, who, like, everyone should be like, oh no, this is great. And that crowd was just dead. And then eventually, and it wasn't until Miro started taking those kicks where he's telling Danielson to, get those, start kicking me. That's when the crowd finally started kind of waking up again. But that was 2/3 through the match, 3/4 through the match.
Yeah, for sure. That was a ways in.
And it was a good match. Like, it wasn't, the barn burner match that he had, that Danielson had with Rocky or Miro just destroying him, but it was a good match completely. But it just kind of it fell flat through most of it. And then, the finisher was the finish to the match. It fell kind of flat too, because once again, it didn't feel like the crowd figured out what was happening. Like these finishes just felt rushed and weird, and out of nowhere, which is fine, but the crowd didn't really understand what would happen when Miro gets DDT'd off the, off the turnbuckle. And I don't know. It died again. And then what did we have next? What was the next match there, Doug?
So overall, did you like next
Or what?
match?
No, what'd you, what
Was
were we gonna
just,
ask?
I was just gonna ask. So overall, did you like the Miro Danielson match? Like, what were your thoughts on it?
It wasn't what I wanted,
Yeah, was it what I
but I
wanted?
liked it.
Yeah, it was so good. I liked it. Did keep you on edge, and you didn't quite know who was gonna win or lose. Like at points, like it went back and forth, and really, you didn't know who's gonna win, which I liked about it. And then it wasn't until you see that tornado DDT starting to get set up at the top that you went, oh, okay, here it goes, you know, the vulnerable neck.
Yeah, the vulnerable neck, which is something that is the big standpoint of Miro, which, I mean, it's good booking. It's solid booking. Right. Like, I liked the match. I wanted Miro to win, but that's beside the point, you know? Yeah. I'll take Danielson versus Hangman.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So next we had the Super Click versus Jurassic Express and Christian.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of this match, Bill?
It was probably the most disappointing Young Bucks pay-per-view match I've seen. With that being said, though, if I take away from the in-ring action, or whatever you want to call it, and actually do the storyline, just the story of the match, it was good. I mean, this goes back to, you know, the four young pillars. Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy had a story. The match told of Jungle Boy's story. He didn't want to use the chair initially. Eventually, in the end, uses the chair to get the win. He, you know, and I hate saying this, Jungle Boy is becoming a jungle man. I mean, but that was the story. You know, everything about it was. It was him just, you know, finding his voice, finding out who he is. I thought it was a good match. I do think, though, when you hear the Young Bucks are in a gimmick match, you expect big things. And it wasn't. And that's okay, but it was a letdown as a whole, in my opinion. What about you? Since the Bucks are definitely your Super Boys, what are you thinking about?
Right. It was missing those few high spots that you expect out of a Bucks match, especially when it is a false count anywhere, and you know you get your gimmicks in there. So like when Christian Cage was jumping out of the bleachers there, you know,
mm-hmm.
when you typically would have expected to be something more extreme out of one of the Bucks doing mm-hmm. a bigger jump. It was fine. It was had his entertaining moments. It had a few what the fuck moments when Jungle Boy, last we see, he's getting thumbtacks in his mouth. And then next thing we know, he's like running out of the back room.
Yeah, he's running from the locker room on the entryway there. Yeah, it didn't make
sense. Yeah, so that made no sense. But
zero.
Overall, it was fine, especially there was a storyline, but there was no true meaning. You know, there wasn't belts. They weren't climbing their way back into title contention or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just kind of another match. And
sure.
It was fine.
Yeah, it was fine. It was like an average good match.
Yeah.
Maybe. And now we're talking about great matches. Cody and Pac versus Andrade and Malakai. You want a match that will suck the wind out of an entire fucking arena. I think we found it, folks. And we shouldn't have. Thank you, Cody. Thank you every day.
Yeah, nothing like the face team getting booed in the first like 30 seconds because of Cody. You could see him like laughing about it too. Like it was just kind of, well, here we go.
Now that he's playing this, I am a heel that, or I'm a face that you love me so much that you hate me thing. I like now that it's kind of been brought forth. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to fuck it up. Like I'm wondering in the end, like if this was like the whole 5D chess thing of him doing it, or now he's like really not understanding it. I don't know. All I know is that you have four guys who are actually very good in the ring, very competent in the ring. Cody actually, I'll say 3-star Cody, but Cody's had two of probably the most memorable matches in AEW or pre-AEW history, with him versus Nick Aldis at All In, and then him versus Dustin was an absolute one of my favorite matches. Like, I forgot about that match until I was thinking about how it's reminded me of Kingston and Punk. But like, it was just one of those things. Like, Cody can do it, but it didn't make any sense. That actually, the thing that I was starting to get upset about, but just it doesn't make any fucking sense, is why would Andrade and Malakai start doing the same shit Pac and Cody were doing as far as tagging each other in quickly and, trying to get the tag in? Like, I understand the Cody Pac thing to a point because what Cody's trying to do, but it didn't make any sense for fucking Andrade and Malakai.
To have that little conflict.
Yeah, it sucked. That match sucked, and it's too bad because, like I said, four guys who are all very capable. Three of those four guys are insanely capable of having a great match, and it just sucked. So, good job, Cody. You're getting us to
We
hate
got
you,
to see
buddy.
the Black Arrow again, I guess.
Yeah,
If
I mean
you're going
that's
to
a
take one
huge.
thing from it,
Yeah,
yeah.
we finally saw the Black Arrow, which is something that they were teasing constantly with Pac doing it and not hitting it. But fuck that. That's all I gotta say.
Next match that kind of definitely missed for me as well was Tay Conti versus Britt Baker.
But so now my question is to you is because the crowd once again. Even though I didn't feel the crowd really got up for Christian and Jurassic Express versus Superkluck, any goodwill that they got from that match, I think was completely fucking taken away from Cody Pack. If the crowd was at least a little bit into it and didn't have the air completely fucking sucked out of it from the Cody match, do you think that you might have liked the Britt Baker Ty Conti match even better?
Yeah, I can say that. I can agree with that. I think if the crowd was into it, especially like Tay was still trying to like really sell it, and it was one of those things when she was selling it and no one around her was reacting,
No.
she would have been really selling it and keeping in the match with the crowd behind her. It would have been one thing, but it was almost like an empty arena match, like.
It didn't, it felt like a raw match.
Where it was just like those two just wrestling, and she's overreacting, but there's no one there to for her to react to, and
Like the crowd did not give a shit. And I mean, I don't want to just completely shit on the crowd. It is the wrestler's responsibility to get the crowd into it. But when you see wrestlers attempt and it's a half-assed job at best by the crowd, that you got some you there's something as a promoter or a booker that you have messed up on. I mean, they just threw DMD and Conti out to the wolves. Like, you got probably the least exciting, least built match going into it after Cody and the boys literally sucked the shit out of everything. Like they weren't gonna have anything. I mean, no matter what they could do, other than turning it into a hardcore match where someone breaks Britt's nose, and then Britt just smears it all over. Like, other than doing that, there's nothing they could have done.
Other than trying to go extreme and hitting some weird
So,
spot that wasn't really worth it.
Tay Conti did a Charlotte Flair moonsault off of the corner. Like, she went over the corner. She wasn't even doing it out to a flat. She went over the corner, which is way tougher and way more difficult. And it didn't get shit. She doesn't hit moonsaults.
I don't think I've ever seen her
She doesn't. She does. She strikes and she grapples. She doesn't do anything high flying. That was a fucking huge high spot. And absolutely nothing. So, I mean, I agree. The match wasn't great, but it wasn't shit.
Right.
You know,
it wasn't horrible by any means.
Yeah.
But like me and you have talked about Britt Baker matches before where sometimes it's just something a little lacking. Like I definitely noticed it a few weeks ago when it was Anna Jay versus Britt Baker.
Mm-hmm.
Like Anna Jay was doing those big, I don't remember what she calls them, but the big kind of like spinning kicks.
Mm-hmm. Like in the corner.
Yeah. And I'm like, the kick was looking like it was in slow mo and it was just barely, you know, coming. It was barely hitting her. And I'm just like, come on, like at least like kick her, like make it look a little more, you know, give me a little more realistic.
Britt's a great,
that's kind of,
yeah, Britt's a great character, a great promo. Her in-ring, she works well with only certain people. It's like she'll have amazing matches with certain people, but she won't have matches, great matches with everyone.
Right.
And I think that was kind of the case with, you know, Ty Conti. And then thank God Eddie Kingston knocked fucking CM Punk out as soon as he fucking saw him. Because that finally brought life back into the whole pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And it was exactly what it needed to be, what it should have been. And Eddie Kingston is still my favorite person on earth.
As he should be.
As he should be.
I'm pissed that I missed what he did because I think it was one of those things that happened so it happened so fast. I glanced over to you, I believe, to say something. And then next thing I know, like you just see a little, I just cut the back into forward motion and I thought like he headbutted him.
Yeah.
But
no. He proved that he can knock his Irinagi, I think it is what he calls it. His spinning fist.
Mm-hmm.
Knocked fucking CM Punk straight the fuck out.
The best part of it is just his facial expressions after he did it.
Yeah. An absolute madman.
Yeah.
And like that whole match was that it goes back to that Dustin Cody match where it's a blood feud that completely just takes it above and beyond. And the difference between those two matches though is that like this felt like a real fight. Like both of them just getting exhausted. And Excalibur just being absolutely perfect during the match as Colin. He's just like, the adrenaline rush is gone. These guys are running on fumes. Like, I loved it. I loved it to death. Yeah. It's definitely, there's three great matches of this pay-per-view. This was definitely one of them. And the MJF one was definitely one of them. And then obviously Hangman and Omega, which we'll get to. Well, we covered that one pretty decently, but we might get into it a little bit more. But yeah, it was perfect, and that's going to be. There's going to be two things, maybe three things that people remember it this pay per view by. It'll be Punk's bloody ass face and his crazy fucking eyes. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be Hangman holding the belt, or being lifted up by Dark Order. And it might be fucking Eddie Kingston looking like fucking Jack Torrance from The Shining. Like just the fucking crazed look. And that's it. That's all people are going to remember from this. And they should definitely remember the Punk Kingston match. So,
yeah, it's what you wanted it to be. It's what you hoped it would be. And yeah, it delivered. Like, yeah, it was crazy, crazy good. Eddie is just, you know, he lost, but he put himself over way more. Like win or lose that match, it didn't matter. He
yep
from the opening Uranagi, he was already over.
Yes. And then speaking of great matches, the Inner Circle versus American Top Team and Men of the Year. We saw Baron von Raschke. That was fucking cool.
That was cool.
That was
Yeah,
cool. And he got
enjoy
involved, and he
that.
got involved perfectly. And
Put a
Ethan Page was fucking great with it. Loved it. Perfect. Great.
Gave him the claw. He's a Minnesota
And there was a cool spot where Santana Ortiz put that like double finisher on Page and Scorpio Sky. That
Yeah, that
was
was really
cool.
good.
And oh, and then Sammy Guevara walking around with a football for at least possibly 3 to 5 minutes, not doing anything but just walking around with a football, hit Scorpio with the football, and that was the pinnacle of Sammy's night, other than jumping off of a ladder.
And didn't Tony say, like, oh man, this kid is just so good?
Oh,
Like, dude, he threw a football.
yeah, it was, and yeah, like, oh, that was so great. And then I think like fucking JR is just like, well, and my Sooners could have used them earlier today, like fuck off. Like fuck,
Yeah.
he finds a football in a trash can. He pulls it out. He fucking mugs to the camera with it, and then he just walks around with a fucking football.
I never saw it with him again, and then all of a sudden the spot is ready 5 minutes later, and
Yeah.
here's Sammy still with the
With
football.
the football. That match was fucking shit. Junior Dos Santos, he almost breaks his neck. And then he's out of position twice during it. He misses a spot twice. There's even a point, and I was meant to yell at you because we were still mad about the Sammy thing, the Sammy and the football thing. There's a
Your whole
point where
neighborhood heard you
well,
cussing out Sammy.
because like so there's a spot between Lambert and Jericho on the outside. Jericho gets like thrown into a guardrail, and like Lambert's just standing there, and you can see Jericho kind of like saying, like yelling something. He's far off mic, and he's yelling something. And but he's like supposed to be trying to sell being thrown into a guardrail. And then they cut back into in-ring, and like Sammy's standing there. Like Sammy Ortiz and Santana are all standing there while like Men of the Year are still laid out in the middle of the ring, and they're like, okay, Sammy, do your spot. And then so Sammy goes and does his whatever the fuck, because he's great at spinning and jumping. And then in the background, you see Dan Lambert go hard cam behind the ring, grab Junior Dos Santos, get him right next to Jericho so he could do something to Jericho. Like Dos Santos missed his spot completely because he's just happy to be there. And then there's the whole thing where like, and then at the end, Jericho literally yells, he goes to do the lion salt on Lambert, and like he has to lean over the ropes because this is how he normally does the lion salt, completely on his belly, and he's like, Junior. And then he's still waiting there for like a half second, and Junior kind of throws a weird punch, and then just fucking horrible. Like, and people can have fun with it. Like the toaster thing was funny, bunt cake's funny. But I don't know, man. That sucked.
Yeah. Had its moments, but it didn't.
No. And yeah, Jericho gets the win. And then let's bring up the crowd by bringing in our newest signee. Doug, who did Tony Khan waste his money on?
He went out and got one Jay Lethal. a few weeks ago in episode two when we were talking a little Ring of Honor. I'm like, well, Jay Lethal would be good in AEW. What'd you say, Bill?
I said he's dumb, he should be an Impact or an NWA. And I still hold by that standpoint. Because, oh, wait, no, we got Sammy Guevara versus Jay Lethal coming up now.
So you did forget about your biggest highlight of the night when you
Oh,
were
I was going
screaming
to
and
get into
dancing
it.
around the room. You ready to get into it? Did I jump the gun on it
No, you didn't
for you
jump the gun.
too?
I was going to get into it in a bit. I mean, the big news for the future was not Jay Lethal wrestling Sammy Guevara, because that's going to be fun. And maybe Jay Lethal can do a Ric Flair impression, because everyone loves Ric Flair impressions right now.
Or he brings his Macho Man.
Ooh, Black Machismo. I'm okay with Black
Yeah.
Machismo, but anyway. No, it's the fact that we got Tomohiro beef slapping with the beefiest butcher boy in all the butcher boy lands. I am so happy that we got Butcher and Blade versus Orange Cassidy and Tomohiro Ishii. Never open weight champion,
Right, yes,
Tomohiro
BJ White last night in the main event of the New Japan pay-per-view.
Ishii. Yeah, I mean, boy howdy. Boy howdy. Let's get some fucking Butcher and Ishii. I am all for the Stone Pitbull. Just fantastic, fantastic. Yeah, that's all I got. That's all I got.
It's gonna be fun. Finally, yes. You're seeing a little of those 400 chaos references from Dynamite last week start to
Starting
come
to
through
pay
here.
off. Yeah. Yeah,
It's
no,
not
I'm.
the Okada that everyone was hoping for, but I don't really. She is just fine, and
There's nothing saying Okada's not on that same plane.
exactly.
So, and then maybe Okada and Chuck can reform their New Japan tag team and become the greatest tag team ever, according to Kazuchika Okada. But yeah, no, super awesome into that. And then Omega Hangman. We touched. It was perfect. I hope Kenny's neck is still in one piece. That's
Yeah, he took
he
some
or his
pretty good
shoulder,
ones.
because I mean he's needed shoulder surgery for 2 years now, 3 years now. Maybe even both shoulders. So I thought the ending was perfect. Hangman is perfect. That opening little vignette that they did for him, for Hangman, was great. And this was it was a great title run for Kenny.
Definitely.
I mean, you can't say anything bad about it. You know, the belt collector gimmick was one of my favorite things as I was kind of getting a little wary on wrestling. The belt collector started really got piqued my interest again, and the Forbidden Door and Callus, and I mean everything about that was really started kind of getting me back into it. So
I mean, with a lot of things they did in his run, it changed wrestling. With the Forbidden Door, with the Belt Collector, with all the people that were coming in and out during this. I mean, it changed what wrestling is right now.
I got some future ideas going on here,
Okay,
Doug.
what you got?
So, future booking, because everyone cares about two guys talking about booking wrestling in the future.
No one ever does
No one
that.
ever does that. So one thing, so there's a couple things coming out of Full Gear. The Cole Bucks relationship
Okay.
And how it deals with Kenny could be very interesting here shortly. I want everyone to review the Dynamite Halloween episode and watch how Kenny is treated by Cole, how Kenny treats Cole, how the Bucks react to it. Little things, baby. Little things.
Ooh, I did not catch on to that. What?
There's just some little things.
Yeah.
That's there. Like it could be hinted if you go back and watch those matches that Kenny feels threatened by Cole and his friendship with the Bucks. And Cole might be taking advantage of that because Cole's a real piece of shit and Kenny's insecure.
So that can go all the way back to the BTE days of when Cole was a part of it. I mean, there was already that weird little conflict of
when, you know, Kenny was in Japan and the boys were in Ring of Honor.
Yeah. Kenny was jealous of Cole taking over his two best friends and,
mm-hmm. They're still playing it, maybe. I don't know. I saw it and then
the internet confirmed my beliefs because that's all the internet does.
But it's something to look into. Another thing that I didn't notice, but there's Twitter,
the internet wrestling community on Twitter,
started really pointing out. Is start paying attention to Jamie Hayter and her interviews. Okay. Not her interviews per se, but a DMD interview. She might be a little defiant in certain things, but a couple things there. Obviously we got Okada. Okada has to be here. And New Japan's going to do what they can to try to get us all very interested in buying Wrestle Kingdom in January 4th. So they got about a month or so to get all of our hopes and dreams alive, and then they can go back to Japan to quarantine appropriately. Mm-hmm. And I think I just saw today for New Japan that night two is going to be whoever wins the World Heavyweight Championship, the IWGP belt there. Night one between what is going to be assumed to be Shingo versus Okada. They will have to wrestle Osprey the next night.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a killer match no matter who it is.
Right. And a lot of people are thinking that it's going to be Ospreay getting his title back because he had to give it up because of injury, right?
Correct. And that's how Shingo got it. Which I think that's where we were getting confused with Kota having it.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Or something.
Unless it happened to both of them.
New Japan had so many injuries in the last year where everyone died. Well, and Ospreay, I think Ospreay had it for injury and he also got burned out in being in Japan.
Yeah.
Because what was nice is that he could go back and forth and do his tours, but when COVID hit, he had to sit. And did you hear the rhyme? I did the rhyme.
Oh, you're still good. Still good.
So good. But anyways, just a couple of things to kind of keep your eye out on it. The future's still bright. I mean, I know this is Doug and I, you literally shitting, or it seems like it could be shitting on the pay-per-view last night. I think the future's still insanely strong. I think what it was for us is that when I was looking at this card, I was excited for every single match except for one. And like one, I don't want to watch this match at all. Which was the Inner Circle match, the Women's Championship match. I was fine with it. I wasn't super stoked. But everything else, I really was stoked. They built towards the pay-per-view insanely well. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it might be a letdown. I kind of want to watch the pay-per-view again, you know, maybe a couple days from here now, or, you know, maybe next week or something like that, and get a real feeling for it. Maybe I'll make all my family at Thanksgiving watch it, and they'll be like, Bill, and I'm like, you're eating my food. You will watch what I want to watch. And they're like, but the Rapids, they have a soccer game. It's the playoffs. I'm like, I'm the only one that cares about the Rapids. You don't even know what soccer is. And they're like, what about the Dallas Cowboys? And I'm like, fuck the goddamn Cowboys and fuck Garland, Texas. You know what you did, Garland. You know what you did, Garland.
So anyways, you feel better, Bill?
I don't know. Things are still going to be good. I mean, I think, do we have Survivor Series this weekend?
Is it really? Maybe.
I'm going to look real quick because that's going to be awesome if we do. Oh, God, we probably do. This is a professional wrestling podcast done by people who don't even know when one of the big four WWE
pay-per-views are. We've got a big four coming up, and we don't even know.
Yeah, it's the 21st.
Okay, so Saturday, which is, or yeah, Sunday.
A week from today. Well, a week from tonight. We're recording on Sunday. Yeah, wow, yeah. Awesome, dude.
I've seen the Raw team and the SmackDown team, and... it's nothing to really get excited over.
No, well, we'll get back into that. We'll get into the upcoming week. This is just a quick little guy, even though it probably wasn't, but I don't know. We will be getting back into homework. I know we missed it last week. That was just because we were talking a lot, which is weird because we never do that.
No, we never go over by 45 minutes.
No. But I put the links in the description for the homework. I'm supposed to be watching June 2004 Punk versus Joe 1 for the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight title in Dayton, Ohio. It's a YouTube link. Is supposed to watch the 2000 ECW Massacre on 34th Street, Tajiri and Mikey Whipwreck versus Kid Cash and Super Crazy. Doug's homework's only 18 minutes. My homework is an hour. So figure out who loves you more. Other than that, Doug, anything else to do? You want to talk about or hit on before we give her a go and you can get some rest and go do overnights for the next 82 hours.
Right. Now just another, another quick plug. Just, you know, thanks everyone who's been listening so far. We really appreciate you guys supporting us. Hopefully, like what you've heard so far. Maybe not. Like what you've seen on the radio.
Thanks for watching on the radio. Give us a follow, IA Pro Wrestling at Twitter. That's where we do most of our drops, stuff like that. Instagram also, It's All Pro Wrestling. Facebook, It's All Pro Wrestling. We will keep up with all that good stuff. We will have an episode later this week. It'll be out Friday, hopefully Friday afternoon, if not Friday evening. Again, thanks for listening all, and we will see you on the flip side.
Bye.